This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Andy Robbins. What was life like in a colonial fort in southwest Michigan 300 years ago? Archaeologists from Western Michigan University are trying to find out. They and local volunteers have been digging at the site of Fort St. Joseph in Niles since 2002. The fort was built along the banks of the St. Joseph River by traders and Catholic missionaries from France in the 1680s. Western Michigan University professor Michael Nasaney leads the work exploring the fort's history.
It is now an archaeological site, so there are no standing structures. There was nothing above ground that we could see, but beneath the ground, the signature of their daily activities is buried just beneath a thin layer of soil. And we've been investigating this site since really the discovery was in 1998, and the first full field season was 2002. And we've spent about 15 field seasons there now. We've identified the locations of houses, trash deposits, getting a sense of who lived in the houses. And this year is exciting. We're actually expanding out from the location we've been working to reveal even a larger evidence of the fort.
It was Western's team, including yourself, who actually found the actual location of the fort, right?
Yeah, it was in 1998. We were called by local people, support the fort, a group of history enthusiasts, and they said, help us find our French trading post. We agreed, unbeknownst to us. They didn't tell us they'd been looking for it for 100 years. So we showed up, and we do what archaeologists do. We dug lots of little holes. And with a little bit of luck, a local collector came by. He'd been working in an area that we probably weren't going to work because it was so wet. And he showed us a box that had 18th century artifacts in it. We went to that location. We dug more holes, found more artifacts. And as it turns out, the deposits are beneath the water table. So it's a very complex situation. And we actually have to lower the groundwater table every time we do the excavations. But we do that with local volunteers assisting. And it's been a great opportunity to learn about a place for which there was very limited historical documentation.
When I was there, I think two or three years ago now, saw some of the things that were being recovered. And you know, there were things like, you know, buttons, bullets, pieces of glass and ceramics, like you mentioned, often perhaps things people threw away because they didn't want them or need them anymore. But what can you learn about the past from something like that that people back then threw away?
Yeah, that's our stock in trade, right? It's other people's garbage. So we say the archaeological record is a product of people's activities, namely materials they lost, they abandoned, or they discarded because they're broken or something. So the kinds of information we can use, it's almost endless, almost just limited by our imaginations. For example, in the area we've been working, we have found buttons. So we can inspect these buttons and we can determine what kinds of clothing they come from. So we know, for example, there was a contingent of about 8 to 10 enlisted men, few officers and so on. They typically would have worn uniforms. The uniforms they wore had distinctive styles of buttons. So in the area that we're working, we found only about a handful of military buttons. So actually in this instance, sort of the negative evidence, the fact that we're finding so few of them suggests to us, this is not where the military lived. So again, we don't have any detailed maps, descriptions, drawings of Fort St. Joseph. So we're literally reconstructing the map, determining where people lived on the landscape and what activities they conducted. Another example would be in the museum before we even started the archaeology, people had collected artifacts from plowed fields in and around the vicinity of Fort St. Joseph. They found lots of glass beads. So we have bags and bags of glass beads from previous collectors.
And glass beads were trade goods mainly.
Yeah, they were objects that were very tiny. They were embroidered onto garments. For the most part, the small ones. Larger ones might have been used for necklaces, but mostly the small ones are used for embroidering onto moccasins and garments and so on. We've recovered them right in front of a fireplace in one particular area where there's a large concentration of them. So the context of those objects is telling us that, again, we've ruled out the military living in this house, so it's likely, and probably not the commandant or a priest, for a trader's wife, sitting in front of this fireplace and embroidering beads onto her garment. And these beads, sometimes just this small, they fall onto the ground, might not see them, might not recover them. There for the discerning eye of the clever archaeologist, right, to recover centuries later. And so those beads then that we find tell us something about what activity was taking place and where it was happening. Whereas the ones that lack provenience information, they lack locational information, are neat. They're old objects, but they're divorced now from that information.
Where does the Fort St. Joseph project go from here? I mean, are you close to being done? Or
so we're about 20 years in. People ask me how much longer will it go on. There's easily another 50 years of work there. We have this year expanded into a new area of the site. We're digging beneath that dump, right, that covered, we thought might cover part of the site. And the question was, when we went in, what's beneath it? And the short answer is evidence of 18th century life. So this potentially doubles the size of the fort area based on our investigation. So this is very exciting. And then the logistics of removing this 20th century landfill is another matter. But, you know, we often say between the water and the dump and the conditions there sometimes, Fort St. Joseph has not easily yielded its secrets, but they are being revealed.
Western Michigan University Professor Michael Nassani is the leader of the Fort St. Joseph Archaeological Project. The site is often called the Fort of Four Flags because the banners of four countries flew from it over the years. Nassani says, though, some stayed longer than others.
It was actually a group of French and natives under the Spanish flag from St. Louis, came up and claimed all of Michigan for Spain. So that was short-lived. They were there for about 24 hours.
You'll find a longer interview with Nassani on WMUK's app and the West Southwest podcast. You can subscribe through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. I'm Andy Robbins. Thanks for listening.